This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
It's really a privilege to be here this morning. There's a lot of familiar faces and some new faces that I see here. For those who don't know me, my name is Eugene Dolman, and it's a privilege to share the message here with you this morning. I grew up here in Somerset West, so from going to primary school here at the WIP and then going to Paul Roos for a short while and then also to Paul Verlei, and it's really a privilege to be here this morning. Can I open for us in prayer? Thank you, Father, that we can bring this morning before you, Father, and that we can just open our hearts this morning. And Lord, that we can ask that you speak to each one of us this morning. We thank you, Lord, for your love. We thank you, Jesus, that you are real, Lord God. That you are so real. Even more real, Lord, than every person that is sitting here. Thank you, Father, that we can bring this morning before you, and we ask, Lord, that our hearts will be open to receive what you have laid on your heart, what you have on your heart for this morning. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I came a couple of weeks ago to assist with an Encounter One course, and there are a couple of you that are here. Now, I'm assistant pastor in Stellenbosch, so I was part of the church plant here in Somerset West in, I think, 2007, many years ago, and then the Lord, the last couple of two, 3 years, he laid on my heart to leave the secular workplace to join the team in Stellenbosch, and some of you can remember it was quite an interesting transition, and the Lord really came to do mighty miracles in my life. And I see we've got the local corner over there, Gustav and Oom Jan, welcome, and thank you for having me here this morning. And Pastor Heinrich, I believe he's off this weekend, so hopefully him and Nikki will rest a little bit this weekend. So before we get into the word, I just want to sort of make this following statement so that we can all be sure that the message that I've got on my heart this morning, this is definitely not a work instruction. It's far from trying to bring a work instruction. You see, whatever we do, we are human beings. We are not human doings. Many times we live our lives in that place of we want to do stuff to become something, but we are human beings. And that is sort of the foundation for this morning, that we always have that in the back of our mind. Okay, you're still with me this morning. And also, I invited some of my friends, and some of them didn't have my, from school, I invited, and one didn't have my number, so she thought that it's my wife that was preaching this morning. So, sorry for the surprise. So, I would like to start to read in Isaiah 28, verse 16, in the Good News Bible. This now is what the Sovereign Lord says: I'm placing in Zion a foundation that is firm and strong. In it, I'm putting a solid cornerstone on which are written the words, faith is firm. Faith that is firm is also patient. Now, I can tell you a lot of building stories. I think maybe I must tell you a couple of those stories. There's one of my friends that's not here, but a couple of years ago, he helped when my father was building. And my father got somebody sort of that, I think he got the guy from the street. He was one of those bucky builders. I don't know if you guys know the bucky builders, those guys that just have a couple of guys and they do everything from their bucky. And so this guy came along and they had to do some foundational work and cover some stuff or build some foundations. And this one specific day, my father decided to come home earlier, or just like a surprise visit. And yeah, so they were busy with mixing the concrete and all of that, but the builder guy was at the bottom of that foundation and trying to tell the guys. But when he saw my dad, he was so shocked that his front tooth, his tooth fell into the cement, and he was so frightened and so shocked that before my dad could see or speak to him, he took that teeth and he put it back into his mouth. So part of Dries is in that building foundation. I also recently had two renovations at my house, and it was quite interesting. The first renovation was literally just two walls, and they had to put a new concrete floor. But when I did the sums afterwards, it fell to me that they were literally using tons of cement. So I don't know where all the cement went. Maybe they took a couple of bags or they wasted. But a building site is normally quite an interesting site. And last week, Sunday, when I was in church in Stellenbosch, the Lord just basically, whilst we were worshiping, He just said that the message for this morning must be on the firm foundation, that Jesus is our firm foundation. And I don't know if you know, but cement continues to harden throughout its life. For the first 28 days, it has to reach its full strength, and you have to actually water that cement down to increase the strength. But after 28 days, it still continues to strengthen. And recently, we had to take some walls out in our house, and we contracted somebody in, and they couldn't with a normal hammer and chisel. They were chiseling and hammering, but they didn't get anywhere. And then eventually they had to get like a jackhammer to take that wall down so that they can put a door into that place. And whilst I was sitting in church, the Lord just showed me that many times when our foundation is old, it becomes sometimes very hard. And whilst we were having an altar call after the service, there was this young man that responded to the altar call. And you could just see that there's like a softness and a moldability that was in this young man just to receive. And I really want us to open our hearts this morning to receive what the Lord has for each one of us. It was so special to pray together with one of the cell groups this morning. The Lord is just so precious and so faithful to have, you know, just some of the congregation members to pray. We had actually two intercession groups this morning, one in the personeel kamerkie and another one here downstairs. And it's just so amazing to see how when we join intercession, how the Lord actually comes and how He brings that word beforehand. And He comes and He tells us, but this is what He has to do this morning, or this is what He wants to do. The message this morning is also quite a bit tough. I was praying a lot through this message. If this is the message, I'm an encourager by nature, so I love to encourage people. That is just one of the gifts that I have. And yeah, so sometimes it's just second nature for me to encourage people. But before I continue with the next scripture, I want to tell a short testimony. We are going on a mission trip to Mozambique on Friday, and we're taking, or 10 children is taking 6 parents to Mozambique this coming Friday. And we had the training day yesterday, and it was so special. We discussed and we spoke through the gifts or the special powers of the Holy Spirit and the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and also about salvation. And it was just so amazing to see how these young children, how they respond, how they are just so open for the Holy Spirit and to receive the Holy Spirit. My youngest one is 5 or 6 years old now, or 5 years. He's turning 6 a bit later. My wife is just checking me on the side. Delita is sitting here. And for the first time, he started to speak or to start to pray in the Spirit. And that was such a precious moment for us as a family, just to see also how he's embracing the Holy Spirit. So it's going to be quite an interesting time. We're taking like a long time to get there, and then we're going to the small village of Chizavani, and we're going to go and help and serve them. And you know, the Lord has really laid a message on our hearts, and it was so amazing to see that when the pastor responded, it was exactly the same message that he also has on his heart. So where the Spirit goes, he prepares and he moves way ahead of us. And there's such an amazing liberty when we follow the Holy Spirit. So this morning, 1 Corinthians 3, verse 10 and 11. According to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Amen? So I don't know everybody that is here this morning, but the invite at the end will be, if you don't have Jesus as your foundation and you want Jesus as your foundation, I want you to respond at the end to the altar call. You see, when Jesus is your foundation, your life starts to change. Your life becomes all the more into His image. And Jesus wants to lay a new foundation, I believe, in one or two people's lives here this morning. I specifically felt this morning that there are also some of us that are sort of in a season of despair. And this message this morning is to bring us back to the one that gives us life, to return to that foundation. You see, we can build a lot of stuff on the foundation of Christ. I remember many years ago, I was still working in the factory, the fiberglass factory. I worked for 13 years in a fiberglass factory. Who knows fiberglass?
Wow. I heard it's akelig.
So for 13 years, I had to have, or my wife had to have, like a separate washing machine because my clothes was always full of fiberglass. And, you know, fiberglass is really itchy, especially if you work in that environment all the time. But I remember one day we had intercession at our offices that were still in Pastorie Park. And that morning, I remember whilst I was praying, the Lord just showed me like a picture of this structure. But this structure was sort of skewed. It was not built like the way that He wanted that structure to be built. And then next to it, I saw this amazing structure that was standing next to that structure. And then the Lord told me in so many words that I'm busy building my own structure. And He wants me to come and build with Him in this other structure that He's busy building. You see, the invite is for all of us. Doesn't matter where you are. Doesn't matter if you are working in a fiberglass factory or if you are working as a dentist or any place where you work. All of us are called to build the kingdom. All of us are called to evangelize and to bring the message of God into that environment where we are. Isn't that amazing? It's not only the person that's bringing the message here in front. Each one of us, wherever we are, wherever we are situated, when we go to the shop, bring a word of encouragement, bring a word to even that lady that is standing there, maybe even the dentist while she's working, try to get a word in. Okay, now if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear. For the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. Amen. So each one of us, we are busy building. In our lives, we are busy building. And the question this morning is, what are we building? You see, when our foundation is Jesus, we can be sure that our foundation is right. But what are we building on that foundation? What is that building that we are busy building? You see, we can be building with straw and hay. I was making a fire last night, and every time I put some like leaves in, that fire just like went up, and the leaves and all of that stuff, it just like deteriorated in the furnace of the fire, that red white part of the fire. And you see, each one of us that is here this morning, we are busy building. We all have an opportunity to contribute and to build. So a couple of weeks ago, I was in the ocean. Like I only get time every now and then to visit the ocean, to go and surf. And normally it's when Gustav invites me, because Gustav knows the water quite well. And whenever he says you must go, then you can know the waves is going to be good. But I don't get such a lot of time anymore I don't make a lot of time to go to the ocean. But I was sitting in the ocean the one day, and the Lord was intimately speaking to me whilst I was sitting there. And he dropped this term in my spirit. He said, self-creep. And I was like, yo, what does this self-creep mean? And he then showed me that many times we just become so self-focused and on our own things that we start to creep, that we start to grow more than what Jesus is supposed to grow in our lives. And many times when we build with that straw or that hay or the wood, which will burn easily one day, it's many times those things that we are busy with, that we are busy with. We are busy with ourselves and our own stuff and building our own kingdom. And God is calling us back to come and build on His foundation with precious stones, because He's got an eternal plan. He's got a plan for each one of us. And He's calling us back to come and build with Him. Isn't that amazing? He's actually inviting us to come and build with Him. So let us really ask the Lord to show us those areas where we are building with straw, hay, or wood. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's foundation is burned, he will suffer loss. But he himself will be saved, yet as through fire. Do you not know that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him, for the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. See, our bodies is a temple of God. Our body is that place where the Holy Spirit dwells. And God is calling us to come closer to Him, to take whatever that thing is that is holding us back, to freely worship Him. You see, many times we come to church, but it's as if we are stuck. It's as if our focus is not on Jesus. And He's calling us to come back. He's calling us to come and build on that foundation. You see, many times it is sin that is keeping us bound. Sometimes it is the hidden stuff that is keeping us stuck in a place. I actually want to tell a story, but it's coming up a bit later in the message, but let's tell it now. So, just to lighten everything. So, I went to visit a doctor on Friday morning, and my two boys, they came with me. And as after we were finished, the smallest one, the doctor asked, what is in here? And I was a bit shocked because I didn't know if he maybe took some of the sweeties that was there and maybe stuck the sweeties in here or something like that. And I'm like, wat het jy daar ingesit? Wat steek jy weg daarso? And he immediately started to cry. And now we've got this whole crying young boy and the doctor that's standing there, he just asked like a question. And this boy that is really crying and I'm like a bit awkward, what does he have here? And he doesn't want me to touch him. So I'm like, ooh, what does he have here that is stuck in here? And I said, Luca, papa gaan gou kyk wat daar is. Staan net stil. And so I reached in and then there was this whole bunch of toilet paper that is stuck in here. So afterwards, he was just fuming and so cross with the doctor. He was cross with everybody. So I asked him later, why did you have that toilet paper there? So he said, no, he wanted to blow his nose and then he didn't have time, so he put it in there. But you see, many times we've got stuff that is stuck in here and we live with that stuff. And sometimes we feel so ashamed. He was really feeling ashamed. And we live with the stuff that keeps us bound. We live with that toilet paper, whatever that thing is, for years on end, we live with that. But the Lord is saying this morning, come, let's get that toilet paper out. He's seen everything. Even the worst toilet paper, he has seen it. And he wants us to draw close to him. He wants us to bring those things to him. Amen? He has forgiven the doctor, eh? And me. So sin defiles your body. What are the sinful acts? See, many times as our children grows, we have to discipline them. And it's sometimes the most hilarious stories that come out. But you'd see, many of you have children, some of your children are at university already, and some have the little ones that so sweet. It was so amazing to see all the little ones. If you want to multiply your family, just go and sit there at the back at one of those seats because it's happening over there. But sometimes when the two boys are fighting, the most evident thing that always comes up, it's never him that did something wrong. It's always the other one that did something wrong. So my question these days are, what did you do wrong? And then there's like a quietness. You see, many times we don't want to bring our own weaknesses and our own things into the light. We rather want to blame shift. We want to, I see some of the parents are laughing because they know. Some of the times, or many times, we want to blame shift. We want to blame whatever the circumstances are. Yes, it's that leader, or it is my boss, or it is whatever. But the Lord is calling us to respond. To come and make our feet firm. Like one of the gentlemen this morning I was speaking to, he said, he's got a firm foundation. He's got lead feet. He's planted. You see, what are those things? Maybe it's even a substance that you are abusing. Maybe you are stuck in an addiction. Maybe there is like a substance that you secretly use that nobody knows about. And God is saying, come to me. I want to give you liberty. You see, when we receive Jesus and the Holy Spirit, there is a liberty that is second to none. We'll get there just now. Maybe there's some stuff that you watch on the TV. Maybe there's stuff on the computer. Maybe you are eating too much. Or maybe you are sleeping too much. I don't know. Each one of us know what that thing is that the Lord is busy speaking to us about. We had this amazing, there's this story that I heard of somebody that sent us a letter. We recently started a Afrikaans service. Well, actually not recently. It's about almost a year ago in Stellenbosch, and because we really felt that we need to also reach out to the Afrikaans community in Stellenbosch. And there are not many churches like ours that brings the message in Afrikaans. But in any case, so there was this one gentleman that sent a letter to us, and he came to the church because of his son. And at the end of the message, there was somebody that came to bring a word. And they said, is there anybody, I can't remember exactly the details, but is there anybody that has got like a pain in their back? And that gentleman, for the last week, he had like a pain in his back. But he didn't respond. The following week, there was an altar call, and the message was, there's somebody that has got a headache. And he was there and he had a headache. But he didn't respond. Then he sends this long email about how accurately the word of God is being preached and how those words of knowledge is really so profound, and that we just need to be obedient to what God says. And sometimes we are like that. You see, we know what God is busy speaking, but we sort of delay it. We delay our response. You see, when my two boys had a fight and one of them, or they did something naughty, the other day they broke a chair, and they first tried to hide it, and these boys are awesome. It's awesome to raise two boys. And so when they came to me and when they confessed, it was so easy to forgive them. You see, many times we take very, very long to respond to what God says. And you see, in that process, we actually harden our hearts, because God wants to give us soft hearts that is quick to respond, that is quick to come to Him, that's quick to run to Him. Isn't that how God really also looks at us as His children? He wants us to respond so quick, not to delay, not to wait, but to when God speaks, when that message comes, that we actually run to Him. Galatians 5:13 and 14. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather serve one another humbly in love, for the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command. Love your neighbor as yourself. But do not use your freedom to indulge in the flesh. See, the Lord wants us to be led by the Spirit. He wants us to be obedient to what the Spirit says. Let's continue in verse 16 to 18. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Isn't that where God is calling us? He's calling us to live a life of being led by the Spirit. He's calling us to lead a life that is led by the Spirit. You see, when we are led by the Spirit, He brings us into places where we are free, where all the bondages breaks off. And this morning, some of us are going to have bondages that's going to break over us. Amen? What is that bondage that is keeping us bound? God is saying, Paul is saying, So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. I don't know if you guys remember, about 2 years ago, I brought a message here in Somerset when we were still in the other building. And I brought a message about forgiveness. Who can remember that message about the forgiveness? One or two people. Now, I'll quickly sketch that scenario, because this forgiveness is such a key. You see, many times we get stuck because of unforgiveness that is in our heart. So that morning I had a prop. I brought a chain with a lock to church. And you guys remember that? And I can't remember who helped me. Who helped me? Johan. Yeah, Johan helped me. And so I was preaching in Matthew 18 from 21 to 35 about the unforgiving servant. And I was preaching and I was saying that we need to forgive because Christ has forgiven us. So that's why we can forgive. And so I locked him up with a chain, and he was standing like this. And the next moment I wanted to unlock, and I thought, oh my goodness, this thing seriously backfired. That was what's going on in my mind, because Christ came to forgive us, so, and this lock is now stuck and I can't get the thing open. And I'm thinking, yo, this seriously backfired. And then the Holy Spirit just dropped in me and he said, but that is sometimes how we are. We keep that thing closed. We don't want to forgive. We want to keep that thing, and that's why that lock couldn't be turned. And then when I went back, I said, you open the lock, and then you could open that lock. You see, many times our heart is captured in unforgiveness towards somebody. And the other day I was really meditating on this. You see, when Christ forgave us, he forgave us everything. Every single thing he forgave us. He gave us 100% freedom. And that's why God really gets upset if we don't forgive. Because our price has been paid in full, and somebody else that sinned against us, we can't forgive. And the Lord is calling us to set even those prisoners, which is many times ourselves, in that unforgiving situation. He's wanting us to set free this morning. And I was thinking about forgiveness. You see, when we truly forgive somebody, you can actually go and have coffee with that person. I'm not speaking about an abusive situation where you are in an abusive relationship and there's a break that needs to happen. But I'm talking about areas where somebody hurt us and we are holding that thing tight in our heart, and we actually need to forgive. And the Lord is calling us to forgive because he has forgiven us. Amen? Julle stil vanoggend. Okay. John 1 John 1, 7 to 9. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He wants to cleanse us. He wants us to have fellowship. He wants us to have fellowship also with one another in home groups and in church. You see, many times we move away from that fellowship and we sort of decide we're going to go solo. I just thought of it now. It's here for a reason, but only a bit later. So many times we decide that we're going to just do life by ourselves. And we decide, okay, we're not going to come to church anymore or to home group or those areas. But God is calling us to come into community. You see, it is exactly in those communities that we are built and where we are shaped. Amen? And that also many times in marriages, it is also that place where we are in community, where we are together, where we are actually being shaped. Isn't that true? Who's been married for more than 30 years? Wow, look at that. That's awesome. You can see they've gone through a lot of shaping, hey? Hello, shine. But it's in that fellowship. If we read Acts 2, verse 42, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. See, many times it is in that fellowship that our blind spots are revealed. Those areas that we don't see ourselves. That's why we need to be in a godly community. That's why we need to be amongst fellow believers. You see, this morning when I got to the fire, there was only like one coal that was left that was red, one or two. Because it wasn't with all the other coals. It was taken out of that fire, and that fire died. So these coals on the side, they were busy dying. And many times when we remove ourselves from fellowship, that's exactly what happens. And God is calling us to be in community. He's calling us into fellowship with each other. We've had such amazing experiences when we are together as home group or as a cell group. Such amazing experiences together where we can encourage each other. And I don't know if all of you are in home groups, but I'd really encourage you to become part of a small group where you can pray for each other, where you can be mentored, where you can get to know each other. Hebrews 10 verse 25 says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. See, it's many times in that togetherness where we are shaped. So the last part, the second last part of the message is these things. I honestly don't know when last I used this, but I found it somewhere in a cupboard, solo. Hey? I think it probably comes from, what year? The 90s, huh? Well, definitely in the 90s, I was really running solo. Some people here will be able to testify of how my life was before I met Jesus. And many times at that time, I was walking solo. It was only me and the pleasures that I could have. And it was on the 18th of May, 2003, when Jesus came to save me, and my life was transformed. Every time there's people that meet me now, and also people that used to know me, they say, yo, it's a different person. But it's not because of my own doing. It's only because of Christ. It's only because of Christ that I'm standing where I'm standing here this morning. This one is not good. But the one in him, Jesus, he's the one. So I want to read for us 2 Corinthians 2, 14 and 15. Now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ, and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. For we are to God the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. Which one will I spray? I don't really like toilet sprays. They sometimes really smell bad. But so what is the fragrance that we are emitting? Now this morning, when I took my wife some coffee, I tried to rekindle the fire just beforehand. There was one or two coals that was left, and there was some leaves that was there. And whilst I was going through the sermon, I started to make a smoke bomb. Have you guys ever made like a smoke bomb in your fireplace? It's just smoke that pours out everywhere because the top part is still cold, and then it causes all the hot air. It can't go up yet. So then it starts to come out by the fireplace. And so when I got there with the coffee, Talita asked me, why is the house smelling like fire? Because I tried to rekindle, so I went immediately to just like put that fire out. But don't put your fires out. Your fires need to be big for Jesus. But the question is, what is the fragrance that we are emitting? You see, sometimes when we walk into a place, it is that flavor. It is that what we bring into that atmosphere that changes. You see, 2-3 weeks ago, we had Encounter One, which I was telling you about earlier, and beforehand, we had intercession. And we prayed for the Encounter One, and there was a different fragrance in that place at our intercession. We worshiped together, and we really trusted the Lord. As I walked in there, I knew God is going to do something special this morning. You see, there was a fragrance of Jesus in that place where we prayed. And as we went out, the Lord just came, and He came to save one of the guys that came through from Stellenbosch. He made a commitment for the first time to God, and his life was changed. We had a combined Encounter One with Stellenbosch. Some of the students came through, and after that, we spoke about the Holy Spirit, and one of the girls came forward, and she was healed of backache, which was many years she was suffering with backache, and the Lord touched her, but it was because of that fragrance that was there, that fragrance of Jesus. You see, when we go out in the day to go to work, what is that fragrance that we are carrying? Are we fresh with that fragrance of Jesus, the one that we spend time with? Are we full of that fragrance? Because God wants us to be full of that fragrance. He wants us to be intimate with Him so that we can go out. In the last one, I first thought of showing like a hamburger for food. I was telling my wife I was going to show like a hamburger for food. But now I've got all your minds on food, eh? But John 4:32 and 34 or 35 says, but He said to them, that's Jesus speaking, I have food to eat of which you do not know. Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of Him who sent me and to finish His work. Do you not say there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest. You see, when we were praying beforehand, somebody got a word that there's living water that the Lord wants to pour out. And just before this part in Scripture, Jesus was speaking to the woman at the well. Who's familiar with that story? The woman at the well. Yes. So He came to the well. His disciples went off and they went to buy food. And here Jesus was cross-culturally ministering and just against all the Jewish laws. And that lady came to know him. And actually they say that that whole village came because of her story, because he had a word of knowledge for that lady. And she received living water. You see, many times we try to satisfy ourselves with physical goods and physical stuff. But God wants to pour out living water. So his disciples come, they all come back and they think, yo, Jesus must be starving. He must be really, really starving. And they say, yeah, here's food for you. And then he says, I already ate. And they're like, yo, but what food did you eat, Jesus? We didn't see you eating. But what was the food that you were eating? And that is exactly it. But he said to them, I have food to eat of which you do not know. Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. See, each one of us are busy building. Each one of us either have the foundation of Christ and we are building on that. God is inviting those that don't have the foundation of Christ this morning to get a new foundation thrown. But you see, what are we building? Are we building to bring that harvest in? Are we going out every morning with that fresh smell of Jesus? He's calling us to be intimate with him. He's calling us to be led by the Holy Spirit. The band can come forward, please. And you guys can all stand with me. We're going to worship one song together. So we're going to worship one song together, and I'm really trusting that the Lord this morning will come and loosen whatever that is that is keeping us bound, that it will really come to set prisoners free. I don't know what that prison is that you are in, but each one of us, you know exactly. Whatever those words are that Jesus has called you and that he has spoken to you, which you might not have been obedient to. He's saying, come this morning. Maybe it is a relationship. Maybe it's somebody that you need to forgive. Maybe there's somebody that you are carrying so heavily in your heart. But Jesus is saying that he's opening that prison door this morning. He's saying, come to me. Come to me. You see, when we respond to an altar call, you're not responding to me. I can't do anything for you. It's only Jesus that can do something. It's only Jesus that can save. It's only Jesus that can break an old foundation even that was built incorrectly. And he's inviting us to come forward. See, maybe you have never experienced the presence of the Holy Spirit, fellowship with the Spirit. The Lord is saying, come forward. I want to anoint you. I want to bless you. Maybe you have never even had the opportunity or had the courage, actually, to bring a word of encouragement or to pray for somebody. This morning is going to change. Not because I say so, but because Jesus wants us to be intimate with him. Because he wants us to have that fresh fragrance of Jesus. Not only sometimes, but all the time. He wants to be intimate with us. If you would like to respond to that word, you are welcome to join me in front and we're going to pray together. Maybe it's the first time that you are here and you want to give your life to Jesus. Please come forward. If there's any prayer that you want, please come forward. We're going to allow for 5 minutes of ministry time, and at the end we're going to have communion together.
Yes, I just want to add, this morning I overslept and Nastasha ran into the room to wake me up. And I wanted to pray, but I was late. And I just asked God immediately, God, what do you want to do this morning? And He just gave me a scripture, John 4, verse 26. It's actually the woman at a well. And and Jesus speaks, and it reads, Jesus said to her, you don't have to wait any longer. The anointed one is here speaking with you. I am the one you're looking for. And I just believe there's a great invitation. Like this really, I just sense in the spirit, there's an invitation this morning for us to meet with God. The anointed one is here with us, and He wants to meet you. So I just want to add to that word of Eugene that, God wants to meet you. Like if it's a hardened heart or foundation or structure that needs rebuilding, or you're outside of the community and you need to get back into fellowship, or any of those, or there's a greater freedom that you trust for, I just want to stir your faith to come forward, because God is here to meet with us today. He's here. He says He is here. Don't worry, the anointed one of the Lord is here. He's here today to meet with us. So just before we continue worship, Nastasha also has some words of knowledge, specific stuff we're going to pray for.
I feel like God is saying that you who have given your life to Jesus, I have put new motives inside of you. And I feel like God is saying, I have put pure motives in each of you. That's why I bought you. I've bought you, and I've put pure motives inside of you. And I feel like if you are struggling with what is my motive, God is here to say today, your motive is pure. Your motive is pure. You have pure motives. I've given you pure motives. And I feel like we often doubt ourselves, and we want to condemn ourselves and feel like I'm doing something, like my motive was this. I thought it was good, but actually I just feel like it's not. I feel like God is saying to you, your motive is pure. It's beautiful. I've put it there. And so I just want to, I want to invite anyone you don't even have to come to the front, but I just feel like just receive what the Father is saying to you right now. He's saying you have pure motives, you have beautiful motives. I've put it there. Your desires are pure. You do desire my kingdom. You do desire for my glory to be revealed in and through your life. You desire me to show up in your workplace. You desire for me to show up in your house, in your family, with your friends. You desire to experience me more. I feel like God is just coming here this morning, and He's saying, your motive is pure, and I will breathe on that. When you start believing and seeing that your motive is truly pure, I'm going to pour my spirit into that, and I'm going to breathe onto that. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. We receive what you say to our hearts in this moment, but every day we receive that you are saying our motives are beautiful before you, Father. And then I also just want to call out specific words that I felt. I felt like there's maybe a Philippia this morning that's got an ankle pain or ankle injury. If there is anyone with an ankle injury or with the name Philip, I'm just saying what I'm thinking. So if you feel the Lord is speaking to you, then we want to pray for your ankle for healing. It's going to be healed. And then I also felt like there is someone who's had a sports injury recently, and you suffer from back pain because of the sports injury. But I want to say I've been praying for people often. I think last week I prayed for someone's back, and Jesus healed that back. So if there's anyone with back pain, come forward. Jesus is going to heal that back pain.
Okay, so let's worship. And any of those words you want to respond, please come forward and lead us. Come, we're going to minister and pray.
I've asked the ushers to also stand on that side. You can come and fetch the communion at your own time, and then go back to, or respond to the altar call, or you can go and sit and pray with somebody. So the ushers are going to stand on that side, and they're going to have the communion ready on that side, so you can take communion on your own time. But if there's any of those words that you want to respond to, you are welcome to come forward.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.